My name is Rich. I'm one of the pastors here at North Central for our Encore group. That's our 55 and over group, but also part of my title is the issue of legacy and what kind of legacy we're leaving for Jesus and how we want to finish strong with our lives. And today, we begin a new series on stewardship, and we're titling it Thanksgiving. When God is the source of our thanks, giving is our joy-powered response. Over the next 5 weeks, we'll be studying what God's word says about stewardship. Jesus talks more about money and finances than he does heaven and hell. 11 of his 39 parables talk about issues of finances and money. If you are interested in taking notes today, you can go to the North Central app, or you can also, you have handouts you got when you came in the door that look something like this, with our series title and some of the blanks we'll fill in today as we go forward. For those of you who are concerned, as a longtime teacher and administrator, I was just concerned with getting all the blanks filled, making sure I've got them all in there correctly. So I want to make sure that we'll give those to you today. There's an old story about a dad who gave his son 2 quarters as he heads for Sunday school. He told the boy, you should use 1 quarter to give in Sunday school for the offering, and the other quarter you can use to buy an ice cream cone on your way home. You can tell it's an old story. 25 cents doesn't buy you much of an ice cream cone today. I don't know if it even gives you the cone. It gives you no ice cream. As the boy walked down the street, he dropped one of the coins, and it started rolling towards a storm drain. And lo and behold, it goes down the storm drain. And the little boy runs over, and he's looking down. He gets down on his knees. He slowly then looks towards the sky and said, well, God, there goes your quarter. Anytime you talk about money, there's always that tug and that pull. It sets off an internal war within us. Whose money is it? During the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at what God's word has to say about stewardship, thanksgiving. It's a very personal subject. The biblical concept of stewardship is that God owns it all, both quarters. Stewardship means as believers, we are each assigned different amounts of material things to manage for God. And that really is a test from him. But because material things do have our names on them, it creates a tension. Who really determines where our money goes? Will I really use my financial and material things as the Lord would have me to do? The scriptures we're going to look at today are from the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be a couple of verses just from chapter 8 and 9. But just a little background. Paul was writing that letter in the years 55, 56 AD, according to most of the commentaries I looked at. And he had founded that church in Corinth, and his heart was just burdened with the importance of true unity in the church. And unless these Gentile Christians were willing to help the persecuted and poor Jerusalem church, there was going to be a real problem for them. So as Paul was taking his journeys, he wasn't just included with all the missionary aspects, not just evangelism, not just church planning and leadership development, but also fundraising for the poor in Jerusalem. Paul, in effect, said to those churches in Greece and Turkey that he founded, you owe so much to these Christians in Palestine. Your faith originated with them. Now they're starving, and if you don't come to their aid, they're not going to survive. As we read these couple of verses together, remember that Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and reminding them about what God in his amazing kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. He's also teaching us some key principles about how we should give. So let's look at those verses together in 2 Corinthians. And as a longtime school teacher and principal, I would rather teach a Bible class than teach an auditorium, because you can get more involved when you got a class together. But today I'm going to have you participate at least a little bit. We're going to read these together. So I'm going to count to 3, and then we'll read 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7. I hope you're all in good voice. You're feeling strong. You had an extra hour of sleep. So let's step to the plate here, big time. All right, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, 1, 2, 3. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Who gives how? One more time. Cheerfully. Say it like you really mean it. Cheerfully. All right, good. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 and 3. 1, 2, 3. Let's read those together. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. Let's read those last three words together. Their own free will. Okay, thank you. Thanks for participating. It gives me a little energy. Second service, you can get a little worn down here, you know. The Hebrew word for cheerful, looking it up in scripture and different study Bibles, etc., is hilarious. But the challenge of using hilarious is what did it really mean to people back then in that day and time? And from several studies and different things I looked at, it seemed to come out more and more that as much as there's a certain joy and excitement in giving, it's really that whole idea of a glad heart and not begrudgingly that we want to give. So as I was thinking about it for myself, what are some of the things that make me cheerful? What are some of the things that make me want to give of my time, talents, and treasure? I'm going to share a couple of personal experiences and examples, but I would challenge you to think about some of those things that you love to give of your time, your treasure, your talents. Over 6 years ago, we were on Cape Cod with my daughter Kate, son-in-law, and two of our grandkids. Actually, at that time, only one. Second one wasn't here yet. And we were able to be present for the first steps our granddaughter ever took, and they happened to be on Cape Cod on vacation. I'm going to just show you a very brief video. Look at the excitement energy at the end of this little walk.
Come on. Come on.
I'm not sure if that was Michael Jordan with a tongue out, whatever, who knows, but there was just that excitement and that energy, and we're just there, we're just present to see her take her first steps. Andy Stanley, who pastors a large church, North Point Church down south, talked about how his wife, one of their goals as they parented their kids was that their kids, when they got old enough to make choices and didn't have to be with their parents, would want to be with their parents. They would choose to be with their parents. One of the great blessings for Joey and I has been to be on vacation with our kids multiple times, them asking us, saying, Mom and Dad, would you go with us? Now, sometimes I think it's helped to split the costs and all those issues, but I really think they actually like having us there. It's a blessing to be with them, and it was a blessing to be there and catch that special moment. There's many other things that I like to give to willingly and cheerfully, and I see others do as I read and looked and thought about it. Babies laughing, or just babies, period. I think about accomplishing something special, like working as I did years ago at the jackhammer for a week and give up a vacation to be out here helping to get this place ready to build the auditorium that we could worship in and learn together in, and then seeing it completed and giving to that willingly and cheerfully. Then seeing as we did the renovation project to this area, and now seeing more recently Kids Central and what's going on there. What a blessing to see that. A special memory of good time with family and friends. Our family does a trim a tree party each year with anywhere from 30 to 100 people, and it's just a time when we love to willingly give and cheerfully give to our kids and our family because we love them, because we want to give, because our hearts are so connected to them. My grandma Parisi was someone who had very little. She lived through the Depression. She used to save her aluminum foil to reuse it 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times, all that kind of stuff. We lived above them the first 5 years we were married in a two-family home in Syracuse on the north side, right next to St. Joe's Hospital. And we came home one Thanksgiving from Boston and to find that our refrigerator was dead. It had died, and some of the food was just barely hanging in there. So we went downstairs to see if Grandma and Grandpa had some room in the refrigerator. My grandma, being the sweet little Italian woman that she is, goes, Richie, Richie, you take my refrigerator. I don't need it. You take it upstairs. I said, Grandma, you plan on dying tonight, honey? Like, what's going on here? Like, it can't be that quick. But she wanted to give everything. You know, she's always, the one thing she could do, and she had some financial help from her husband, was to cook. And she loved to cook and get us to eat and eat and eat and eat. How about some of us? Anybody out there a sports person? Anybody like athletics in any way, shape, or form? You know, I'm a bit of a Syracuse nut. A lot of you know that, even wearing my SU colors, even after yesterday's debacle at the Dome. But the fact is, back in 2003, when they won their national championship, we were at a friend's business, and there was 40-plus of us at that watching the championship game. We were there for the semifinal, and we were there for the finals. And when Akeem Warwick got that block at the end of that game and knocked the ball away, and there was only then a second left, and we said, we're going to win this game. And right after that buzzer went off, you know how people rushed the court? Well, we had this up on a giant screen, and probably about 10 of the 40 of us ran towards that wall like we were running onto the court to celebrate the victory. We were filled with joy and excitement. And then in 1987, when the SU football team was actually good, Donnie McPherson, we're 10-0, last game of the year. We're down by a touchdown. We come down, we score right at the very end of the game. We decide to go for two to try and win. We run a pitch play to the corner. McPherson pitches out to Michael Owens. Michael Owens gets in for a two-point conversion. And I've got my six-year-old daughter next to me, and I pick her up, and I start throwing her in the air, up and down like a little doll, just so pumped up. And people around you are hugging and kissing and giving high fives, people you may know or not know. But there was just a cheerfulness. There was an excitement. And when I thought about some of my silliness with SU, part of that is because of the family connections. I started going to games in 59 when I was 8 years old, and they were national champs with my parents, going to four games and my aunt and uncle, and building relationships with people and then enjoying the team and that thing together as a group that we could give together and really just enjoy that. When you think of giving, do you get that excited? Do you want a high five? Do you want to say, thank you, Jesus, that I can give? Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the blessings you've given me. Are you that pumped up? Years ago at North Central, we used to, now, of course, a lot of you give online and all that, but we used to have everybody would be using tithing envelopes, and we used to sometimes hold them up and do one of these and smack them for a while before we would take the collection, just basically saying, we are intentionally giving with excitement and happiness and thankfulness to our God for all he's given us and for many of the ways he's blessed us. I also remember when we were able to burn the mortgage on this building and the excitement of that and the positiveness and the thankfulness we had for people who gave willingly and cheerfully to God's work, God's house, and to provide us a place to come together to learn and grow in the Lord. Most recently, I think of Kids Central and what that means for kids, for grandkids, for the community. We've collected $479,120 thus far out of a pledge of $765,000. To me, that is thank you, Jesus. We're not like a huge church. We're not like a mega church. We're not like all these people with, you know, huge bucks that can just write $500,000 checks. People have willingly and cheerfully been giving to support the ministry and to make a difference for Jesus in our community and with our kids and for that next generation. So our big idea today is God has a special affection for a willing and a cheerful giver. As I was reading and studying and preparing for today, I looked at some articles that talked about motivations for and barriers to our giving. In a study done by professors at Indiana University and the University of Pennsylvania, they came up with five particular reasons why people give. And this is a mix of people. This isn't really believers or non-believers. And the truth is, as we look at that a little bit more closely in a minute, we'll see that even those of us who are Jesus followers, there's other things that sometimes motivate us. Even as Amy and Julian shared in their testimonies, there's lots of different things that can motivate us to give. Number one, they said the top one was altruism. People wanted to make a difference. Number two was trust. An organization that you trust, someone that you can count on, like it might be Convoy of Hope, it might be Hope for the Bereaved, it might be Rescue Mission, it might be Teen Challenge. Today there's a spaghetti ziti dinner at Teen Challenge today from 12 to 2 as a fundraiser for their ministry, and they do such great things in our community. It might be social. You were invited. How many of you have had someone bring something into work, a box of cookies, of gift wrap, of cards, of something they want you to buy to support their kids' special activities or events? Anybody ever go through that? You know, we get connected socially with people, and then people ask us to come and go. Part of the reason my wife and I have gotten involved with Convoy for Hope is we have a dear friend who lost her brother at 32 suddenly in a car accident, and it was just devastating to all of us. And then Raquette got very involved with Convoy, and so we've been for years going to their dinner and contributing in different ways because we We're thankful for what they do in the community to help people with sudden loss go through that process. A fourth reason they mention is egoism, pride. Look at what I gave. I did this or that, therefore it's a blessing that way. And then the final reason they list as a particular one of their top five was tax purposes. I get a write-off. But what does our culture say are reasons not to give? Well, the study says the main reason people don't give is financial constraints. And I looked at that and I read that and I continued through some other material and I kept coming across and thinking about this idea of FOMO, the fear of missing out. And how many of us, certainly within the body of believers and certainly those who are not believers, get so concerned with all the stuff they'd like to acquire or get. It might be a fear of missing out on the second home, the bigger home, the better vacation, the nicer car, the more recent technology. It could be any one of those things and a million more. In 2011, 35% of adults had smartphones. In 2019, 81% have smartphones. My wife and I are about to become dinosaurs. My wife has an iPhone 5, which I understand is no longer going to be supported much longer. And I have an iPhone 6, which is probably going to need to be upgraded before long, too. But our smartphones do a lot of wonderful things. This morning alone, I got 3 or 4 different Bible teachings on my smartphone. I got Bible verses. I got some wonderful things. But it also can get us very much into the idea of comparison, what others have. And for some of you who are much more into social media than I am, Facebook, Instagram, all those different things, you can think you're doing pretty well till you turn that on, and all of a sudden you're like, oh boy, we only went to Florida on our vacation. Look at where those people went. They really did the good stuff. Or look at our home. I think we just remodeled and it's beautiful, but oh my goodness, look at that. Their bathroom is bigger than my whole home. What is up with that? So we can get into the comparison game, and that can be a problem for us. That can be a problem. As I looked at that FOMO and that comparison piece, and we did a 50-day adventure years ago here that was really looked at the danger of comparison, and one of the real problems that creates is contentment. Scripture talks a lot about godliness with contentment is great gain, the importance of our contentment in Jesus, our thankfulness for who he is, for what he's done, hearts filled with gratitude. If we get into comparison, if we get into what we're missing or don't have, that contentment can be robbed from us. As I continued to study the word, one of the prayers that kind of came on my heart was that all of us today would be open to the Holy Spirit's prompting to make sure you're not stuck in how and why you give. I hope and pray that you don't give simply out of habit, that you don't give out of some of the motivators or reasons that we'll talk about in a minute, that some people do give for those reasons. It isn't strictly an obedience thing, but there's a heart thing going on. How many of you remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials? Anybody remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials? Well, in those commercials, it was kind of, there could be anything going on. It could be on an airplane. It could be at a restaurant. It could be wherever it would be. There'd be a bunch of people making a lot of noise, things going on. And all of a sudden, it would say, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And Hutton says, and the whole room would go silent. They all wanted to hear what Hutton said because he's, of course, got to be the best investors. And they lean in. They lean in to hear. They turn, you know, they make room to hear. And then at the end of the commercial, it says, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. My hope is that we all want to lean in to what God's word is saying, to what his book says to us about ways to give, and that we want to continue to learn and grow there. So, what are some of the differences in terms of why people give? And again, in the handout it says how do non-Christians give, but honestly, it can be any of us. There's certainly reasons. Some of those reasons were reasons why I gave initially when I came to the Lord. But so as we look at those reasons, number one, they give begrudgingly. It's mine. I worked hard for it. Why in the world would I want to give it away? To be honest, before becoming a Jesus follower in my early 30s, that would have been me. And I worked hard, went back to school, got the master's degree after my first year, went back and then got a CAS degree so I could become a principal. I mean, I was working hard. I was putting a lot of time writing all those papers, doing all that stuff. like, why would I want to just give all that away? I mean, I was giving my little bit in my church I was at that point, but certainly not things I'd even begin to think of ways that my wife and I are able and blessed to give today. They give fearfully. They're worried about the future. What if gas prices shoot up? What if inflation goes wild? What if my car or appliances break down? Anybody lose power this week with the storms? My wife and I lost power. We had a great plan that we were going to work on. We just hadn't had it finished yet, which was to get a backup for our sump pump. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done before the floods. It wasn't of the historic proportions, but it was 2 or 3 inches across all of our basement. And my wife is the brave one. We both woke up about 4 in the morning. She said, uh-oh, sump pump's off. That could be a problem. I said, honey, you want me to go or you? She goes, no, let me go. She goes, I want to see it first. She takes my cell phone, turns on the flashlight, and walks downstairs, and I hear a uh-oh, never a good sound, and find out that there's 2 or 3 inches of water in our basement. So now there's not really a whole lot we can do at that point because the power is still off, so the sump pump's not going to work without a backup. And so we're in deep trouble, and water's getting a little deeper by the moment. And but, you know, you can worry about things like that, and you can worry about what else you have to do, and we should protect this, and maybe we should have a generator, and maybe we should have that. You can put your list. But, you know, Scripture talks about the importance of Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Some people give out of guilt. I don't want to feel guilty for saying no, and I want to avoid that feeling of feeling guilty, so I will say yes. Not that I really want to do it, not that I'm doing it cheerfully, but I'll just do it to try and avoid the guilt. And then another reason people give is to get. Even unfortunately, sometimes within prosperity gospel places, churches, you'll be saying, you know, if you give this, then God will give you this. Or sometimes you listen to certain TV guys, and if you give this, God will do this, and God will do this. Give to get mentality. It isn't that God does say a lot of things about ways he'll bless, ways he'll support, ways he'll encourage. But it's not always a financial blessing. There's all kinds of ways that God blesses us and touches our lives and encourages us. So how do we as Jesus followers give hopefully? Well, number one, the believer gives willingly out of a heart filled with gratitude. What's that first blank? 1, 2, 3. Willingly. And the last blank is gratitude. We give out of gratitude. We give out of gratitude. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. The believer also gives generously to glorify God. You're going to hear a lot more about this over the next 4 weeks at different times, so I'm just not going to spend a long time with it today, but it's come up in different ways and a little bit as we finish today. The believer gives because of the grace of God. And 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, it says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace God has given the Macedonian churches. He then goes on to talk about their abundant joy and how this leads to rich generosity, despite all the tests they are facing and the fact that they are poor. They didn't have a lot, but they gave joyfully. They gave because of their love for God and what he had done in them and is going to do through them. We talk a lot about being generous with our time, our talent, and our treasure at North Central so that we give glory and honor to our Lord. And that all starts because of our gratitude. In the last few weeks, we've lost 3 very special senior saints. Pastor Dan's mother-in-law, Raquel's mom, Ruth, shocking death we weren't expecting. And then 2 seniors who are going through difficulties, Aunt Lou Perella, and most recently, Alberta Carpenter. And heartbreaking to lose them here, although we're so thankful that they just loved their Jesus. And they were 3 ladies who gave of their time, their talent, and their treasure in so many different ways. And yesterday at Alberta's service, those of you, and again, many of you are new here, so you won't really know the story of Alberta. And I'm not going to have time to begin to go into the story of Alberta. But Alberta is someone who probably wrote, I'm going to say conservatively, at least 1,000 notes in her life to different people, encouraging them, speaking into their lives, speaking life into their lives, just love Jesus. Husband passed away 10 years ago. Carl was, again, a great fellow and a great believer. But she's been, as she said, living with cancer for 14 years. But yesterday at the service, only so appropriate, at the end of the service, they passed out a note to everybody in the service from Alberta. And I'm not going to read all of it, but let me just share a little bit. It says, to my friends, family, and church, family, how much I shall miss each one of you and your loving support. I'm really home now. I understand it doesn't take long to get here, and I didn't have to think of packing my suitcase or cleaning out my refrigerator. Wish I could be there with you in person today. I would if I could, but God's timing is perfect, and when he calls, you go. Perhaps one of his many angels escorted me home. Wouldn't that be special? I do know the journey was short. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I left everything the world has to offer behind. I took with me the presence of God and the assurance he and Kara would be there to welcome me home. What a great reminder. What a great testimony. What something for us to, as we think about our lives and how we're living them. You know, Stephen Covey talks about begin with the end in mind. What do you think is going to be the final story of your life? What guidelines does Scripture say give us about New Testament giving in our handouts? Give of your own free will. Do not give grudgingly. Don't do it in a reluctant or resentful manner. Do not give out of compulsion. Do not give because someone's twisting your arm, making you do it. We certainly, I think, again, you know, it's hard when you talk about money. People can get defensive immediately. But I think as a church, we try real hard to say, you know what, unless you're a member here, unless you're involved, unless you feel this is your home church, we just want you to come. We want to learn your story. We want to get to know you. There's a quote on your handout, a healthy church will beg to give, not be begged to give. Why do we give? We give because of the good news of the gospel, because God's grace changes our hearts and fills us with a desire to give back to him. We give because God gave his son who became poor so that we might become rich through his death on the cross. There's a heart change that happens in us. We give because God loves and has a special affection for a willing and cheerful giver. God loves us all, but he does say in the scripture he has a special affection for a willing and cheerful giver. And when we fall more in love with him than our stuff and everything else in the world, we want to be giving to him because we're thinking about eternity. We're thinking about things that really matter more significantly. So what steps can you take to give willingly and cheerful? What are some practical steps as we get closer to landing this plane? One, reflect on God's gifts to you. God has been so amazingly good to us. He's blessed us in so many ways. He gave us his grace, his mercy new every morning, salvation to us on the cross. Years ago when I was a principal, a student came up to me at Christmas time and gave me this nail, a replica of one of the nails that would have pierced Jesus' body and put him on the cross. And on it, it says, in remembrance of me. And everywhere I've been since, as a principal, as a not-for-profit director, as a whatever, doesn't matter. It's been on my desk. It serves as a reminder. It's also a chance sometimes to witness and share. Someone goes, what is that doing on your desk? Let me tell you about what that's doing on my desk. Let me tell you about the one who died for me and died for you. So when I think of his love and the love for others he's brought into our lives, I think of life itself, when I reflect on my family, when I reflect on my friends, when I reflect on my work and my finances and the blessing that God's given me to have a career that was just something that I was so thankful for, a home to live in. With or without a wet basement, I still thank you, Jesus. Food, of which I like it too much. Opportunities to learn his word. When we think about the wisdom that just fills this book, I often look back and think, oh my goodness, how did I live before I came to know Jesus and the wisdom that's here? I used to think it was a dead, dry book, and then it came alive, and it was like, wow, this is the best thing ever. A gratitude journal, I encourage people to think about in some way, whether you journal or whether a gratitude journal, think about the things you have to be thankful for. It helps us to be filled with gratitude. Secondly, remind yourselves about his words and biblical giving. God promises a bountiful harvest to those who sow bountifully. He himself says it's more blessed to give than to receive, and for God loves and approves of a cheerful giver. Third, re-examine your heart regularly. There's two questions right below to help us in that reflection, and I'd ask that the Holy Spirit work in all of our hearts to reveal those answers. Why do I give or not give? And what is my attitude when I do give. Why is all this important? What's at stake? There's a lot. I think there's lots, and we don't have time to go into all that this morning, but I think our spiritual health is at stake. God's best for our lives is at stake. Continuing to exalt and lift Him is at stake. Having others come to know Jesus is at stake. As someone working with our senior group, there's been a lot of illness and sickness and physical things going on in the last couple of months. And sometimes I send out the list to our seniors to pray, and I almost get weary just typing out the list as I pray over those different things people are dealing with. But as you get older, you go for physicals, hopefully annually. And you get things like a heart checkup. It might be an electrocardiogram, it might be an echocardiogram, it might be a stress test, it might be a heart catheterization. There's various tests that they can do. Back in 2006, my wife and I were walking up the hill at Upstate Medical Center to go to an SU football game. Surprise, surprise. And we're walking up that hill, and my wife starts having some uncomfortableness in her chest. And she's talking to a friend, and she's thinking, well, I haven't really been walking much. I haven't been working out much. I haven't been taking care of myself like I should. I'm probably just probably a little indigestion. I ate kind of something a little funny this morning. So just kind of passed it off. But she kind of began to say to herself, if I get to the top of the hill and that pain's still there, I'm going to just walk right in the lobby of Krause Irving and tell him there may be something going on here. Well, we got to the top of the hill, and the pain had gone away, and so she just thought it was indigestion or whatever. So we continued to the game, and a couple days later, the pain returned. And so she goes into our general practice doctor, who says, you know what, maybe you better just go and get a stress test and have a few things looked at more closely. Well, thank God she did, because when we went up there, in fact, actually, it turned out at midnight because of more chest pains that kicked in, and we sneak out of our home because my mother-in-law is living with us. We get to the hospital, and they find she has a 95% blockage in the widowmaker and an 80-some percent plus blockage in another artery. So we're just so thankful for God protecting her. We're so thankful for medical teams that have wisdom and knowledge. And that, but, you know, without, we need to take care of our physical bodies and physical hearts, but our spiritual health is so incredibly important to each of us. So if our spiritual hearts are not right, one test is how we approach the topic of giving, of our time, our talents, our treasures. Today we looked at those two key questions, and really it's a pretty simple message. The test of how we live it out can be more challenging. Do we really believe what God says about the importance of being a willing and cheerful giver? Our entire relationship to Jesus is different when we're filled with gratitude for all that He's done and realize everything we have truly comes from Him. Are you living a life just filled with gratitude for who He is and wanting to make Him famous, to exalt Him, to lift Him up, to show generosity, how you cheerfully give of your time, your talents, your treasures? When we fully realize that everything, all that comes, our wisdom, our jobs, our health, our homes, our strength, our finances come from Him, then hopefully it shows a dramatic change in our checkbooks and in our calendars in terms of how we spend our time and spend what God has blessed us with. What might the vision of what happens when we give willingly and cheerfully look like? And believe me, this is really getting very close to the end. One, we receive God's special affection. Two, we reduce our anxiety as we rest in and we trust God to meet our needs. Three, we point people to Jesus. Aren't you so thankful that someone in the Holy Spirit worked in your life to point you to our Savior and a realization of your need for Him? And the opportunity we have to do that to help others come to know Christ. And four, we receive that heart checkup to see who and what we're really trusting in. Is it possible that the reason we don't willingly and cheerfully give is we're really just not all that impressed with what Jesus has done? Or maybe we're just not that filled with gratitude for what He's done. We've come to take it just, well, yeah, He died on the cross. That was nice. Thank you. But now I can live my life my own. It's about my kingdom. It's building, it's my FOMO stuff. What am I going to miss out on if I give to God? I can't buy the latest and greatest whatever. Max Lucado said, what you have in Christ is greater than anything you don't have in life. You have a God who's crazy about you and the forces of heaven to monitor and protect you. You have the living presence of Jesus within you. In Christ, you have everything. In Christ, you have everything. Let's bow.